This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This argument about DOGE continues, the Department of Government Efficiency. It's revealing all kinds of remarkable things. We don't know to what extent all of it actually means, but what we do know, like, for example, recent revelations about the Social Security system, that they are tracking alleged payments that are being made to individuals that are 150 plus years old. Interesting. Now, what they also say is that these individuals, or whoever's receiving these checks, have not negotiated these Social Security checks. So I guess they feel like there's no risk, but I would say to the contrary, why are they still being sent? Why are we still quantifying that amount of dollars that's out there? And why are we keeping data about these people at all? They passed away. They're gone. They're not entitled to receive any other monies, and nor are any of their family members. It seems as though they have difficulty managing the information that they absolutely have to manage, that is critical to manage, but yet they're managing a sphere of information that's so far greater it doesn't make any sense. And we're seeing this repeat itself over and over and over again in many different ways. And it's not a bad idea, in my view, to go look at programs to see if what we're doing, although it may be well-intentioned and altruistic in nature, is it actually accomplishing anything? And is there an opportunity for a collection of countries to come together and influence issues that are creating these crises around the world in a different way? One of the findings that is out there as a result of this 90-day pause as it relates to the funding of a number of foreign programs, we're learning about the impact that it will have on NGOs, religious organizations, or others that are providing these services. One such is reported by the National Catholic Reporter publication was the Jesuit Refugee Service that has been in the refugee assistance sphere for a long, long time. They are looked upon by many as being one of the lead agencies in dealing with refugees. In fact, as a result of this freeze, according to Kelly Ryan, president of JRS USA and regional director of JRS North America, they are so reliant on federal funding that already 400 of the Jesuit Refugee Services, accounting for 11,000 staff members, have been laid off. These are huge bureaucracies, administrative costs, consuming gobs and gobs of money. And one has to wonder actually how much is actually ending up to those that are actually in need. It's really worth looking at this. This is not a knock on JRS. This is what you do in the private sector. This is what you do in order to achieve efficiency and effectiveness. And in fact, previous leaders of that organization have publicly stated that they don't see a problem with looking at this. In fact, Carolyn Wu, who served as president and CEO of Catholic Relief Services from 2012 to 2016, told National Catholic Reporter that she supports reforms to make government services more efficient, but cautioned that any changes had to be made with consideration for the impacts on vulnerable populations. Now, that begs the question, what is it that we're actually accomplishing? We may be well-intentioned in what we're trying to do, but what is actually happening operationally out there? One of the biggest programs that they have are the refugee camps in Chad because of the civil war that's going on in Sudan, in Africa. And right on the Chad-Sudan border, you will find 1.3 million displaced people that are there. They're struggling. Malnutrition, lack of water, insecurity, forcible recruitment by armed groups to do all kinds of horrific things, to basically become slaves. These refugee camps in Chad are so overcrowded, conditions there have not improved measurably since the whole thing started. And there are dozens and dozens and dozens of organizations that are there trying to assist. And many who have visited there have said they appreciate the effort, but this is not getting measurably better, and they don't see an end to this. In fact, to the contrary, what they're finding is that there are more and more numbers of folks moving across the border into Chad as a result of the civil war.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sudan. So one has to ask, right? Is there a better way to deal with this issue and this civil war in Sudan that is creating this humanitarian crisis, to wit, we, you, me, everyone else, our tax dollars are being sent over there to fund and finance a lot of what's happening? And it may be to no avail. It may be that it's a far gone conclusion. Because unless we can eliminate a lot of the challenges that they have, and it doesn't seem like money is going to be the one that's going to be able to do it, we're just delaying an outcome that is readily apparent. And that course has already been predetermined. So it seemed to me at some point it would beg a different approach. How do we get there? Is there the appetite for this country to continue to fund and finance foregone conclusions, foregone outcomes? It doesn't make much sense. You see, the benefit of DOGE is going to come in many shapes and forms. And it will compel us to look at political issues critically and compel a decision-making process as to how we are going to change the course of things that are happening out there if we so choose. The toe-in-the-water approach cannot work. We're either all in or we're not in. It's plain and simple. Our allies are either all in or not in. We can't continue to finance these bureaucratic, and these NGOs overwhelmed with administrative costs and expenses and everything else that goes along with that. It's not easy to provide these services over there. I get it. It's not a criticism. It's just an observation. And for how many years are we willing to do so? I often remind folks when we have these conversations that we have over 40 million people living below the federally identified poverty level in our own country. We're struggling to figure out how to finance Medicaid for those that are struggling financially. I dare say that almost every family in this country probably has a Medicaid recipient. It's something very important to us. We can't adequately fund and finance that, and yet we're involved in other programs that we're not going to be able to achieve any meaningful outcomes. And I guess the question is, how many billions of dollars are we willing to put forth to this effort? Is this just about bolstering the reputation of the U.S. government? Is the general public willing to accept funding and financing a number of these activities on a particular whim of the leader of the day or a whim of Congress? Are we providing oversight to make sure the dollars are being spent where they're supposed to be spent? And what we are finding out right now is that, in fact, that's not the case. And it's amazing how we are now engaged in this deflection, denial, evasion, and counterattacks. And that's what the Democratic Party is involved in. In fact, I am so tired of hearing Musk was not elected. What does that mean? The internal auditors, they weren't elected. all the other folks that are providing oversight in the bureaucratic state, separate and apart from the congressional committees, they weren't elected. Efficiency consultants that you hire all the time in some of the largest consulting firms in the world that are hired by the U.S. government day in and day out, where the U.S. government is their largest client, who are providing some of the same information that is being provided by DOGE, they're not elected. So what is it that we fear? That's the real question. What is it that we fear that we're opposed to looking at the bureaucratic state and some of the findings which are compelling us to look at ourselves critically in the mirror? There are those conspiracy theorists out there that believe there's something that they're hiding, that there's going to be a connection to particular individuals or organizations that curry favor for one party or the other. I really kind of believe it's just more elementary than that, right? We fear change. We want to be all things to all people. We want to be the chameleon. We can't, because what we're finding is that we might be in a lot of different buckets, but we're not doing the most incredible work in each one of those, the most efficient. We're not reaching the outcomes of the mission and vision of these strategies that we're deploying, and we fear having them judged. Because we've created a bureaucratic state that relies on these very programs for their sustenance in perpetuity. And in many cases, that's all they know. But how do we continue to finance this? $36 trillion in debt in the 2030s. They believe that that number is going to be about $52 trillion in debt. We cannot just keep racking up the debt and think it's not going to create huge hurdles and problems for us to ever balance a budget, adopt a budget for that matter, without having these years on end continuing resolutions, because we can't come to some agreement as to that. And yes, we kind of discard anything that anyone has to say, like in the refugee world, it's only $40 billion. It only makes up 1% of our budget. Yeah, but there's 1,000 other programs just like this. And if there are only $40 billion, they're consuming more and more and more of the overall budget of this country. Now, obviously, that math doesn't match up. I just throw that out to be illustrative. But we as taxpayers, I believe that we should compel answers. It doesn't mean elimination of programs, but it should compel answers about how we're spending our money, where we're spending our money, who is spending our money, who are the primary recipients of this money that are in turn delivering the services. Are the services being delivered? Are we getting what we're paying for? Isn't that important? It's important as you sit down in every household and figure out how much money you have and where you're going to spend it, right? It's important in every mom-and-pop business, small business, medium-sized business, large businesses. Are you getting what you pay for? As a consumer, we make these evaluations all day. It's amazing to me that we're getting caught up in the rhetoric about who is looking and who is the front man, Elon Musk, not elected, as opposed to the outcome. I don't know about you. I don't really have a feeling one way or the other about Elon Musk. He's a very wealthy individual, very successful individual. He's had probably as many failures as he's had successes. You'll never succeed if you don't get in the game. So that's an expectation that's out there. We're having people focus now on failures. Well, if you don't step into the arena, you know, and you never had a failure, you're not likely to ever have a success. Again, deflection, denial, evasion, and then counterattack. They have it down to a science. It's an art form for those that have fear of change. And it would seem to me, why don't we just look at the outcomes? Let's determine whether or not they're real. They're providing a number of stuff, right? They say that these are the receipts. I don't know if they are or they aren't. Well, let's go look at them. And let's go figure it out. You know, there's a bunch of little anecdotal things that crop up that are kind of crazy. And we feel like, why would we be funding that? Why would that be something that we would be interested in? You see that time and time again. And it would seem to me that would beg that certain questions be asked. The same thing came up in the refugee world about programs being funded. Wondering why we would do so. I think people are a little curious about these things, about programs, you know, that are being eliminated at certain times. But let's just let it take its course. And it's interesting, we're fighting over who's got access to data. Well, the bureaucrats have access to the data. If you become president and you hire another individual in the executive department of government, how is it that they're shielded from seeing the data, but every other bureaucrat can see the data? Doesn't make any sense. Is there a special class of bureaucrats that are out there? Is there a number of years to qualify before you can see certain data as opposed to other data? There are protections for this data. If that individual violates the data, then he needs to be charged and go to jail or whatever the sanctions are for doing so. But he's no different than any other bureaucrat. So it'll be interesting to see where this ultimately ends up. And we should judge each and every one of these programs as to whether or not we are achieving meaningful outcomes. And we shouldn't just be in it for the sake of being in it. We'll be right back.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.